Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This 19th day of October 2005, few people remember that in 1989 on this date there was the black market, or it was 1986, there was a crash of the stock market. Was it 88, 86? I'm forgetting that, 87 maybe. Long forgotten, because that 500-point drop down to 1,200 points was long time ago with totally insignificant consequences now. Just thought I'd remind you that little fact. At any rate, welcome to Christian Worldview. Glad you're listening to us this morning and glad you joined us. Let's have a quick look at the weather for your trip out.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 55 degrees. Downtown, 57 degrees. Anderson, 54 degrees. Clemson, 61. Today, mostly sunny, near record highs in the mid-80s. Light and variable winds becoming southeast around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. And here's a quote by someone unknown. It says, "Free men do not ask permission to bear arms."
All right, that's right. Free men do not have to ask permission to bear arms, because that's why, you know, that they're free. Why not? We are here with a brand new day of all sorts of stuff going on in the news and whatnot. Okay, let's just take a quick look at the headlines. Saddam pleads not guilty to charges. I guess that's not too surprising, right? Saddam in the dock, ex-despot, uncooperative. Lawyer for deposed Iraqi dictator plans to file for 3-month adjournment. okay. And then what else have we got going on in the news today? Well, let's see. Wilma is now a Category 5 hurricane, and it's hitting Central America so far. And, who knows? They're thinking it's going to go up towards Florida. And that's the latest on it, at any rate. We'll see what happens with Wilma. Well, we have our professor, Stephen Yates. I want to remind people of his new book. The Worldviews Project has published something called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. Please send all your orders for Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism to the Worldviews Project, care of Stephen Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 215 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Dr. Yates, of course, one of our local favorites, and we're glad to be able to promote his book a little bit. Send your checks made payable to the Worldviews Project, $20.99, $18.99 if you are a member of the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party. There's a $2.50 shipping and handling charge either way, and you send it once again to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, 29615. What about this hurricane? This Hurricane Wilma does not look as mean as the other storms look. You know, it didn't have that perfectly centered eye with those big clouds around it. But it says it strengthened to a Category 5 monster early Wednesday morning, Packard, 175 mile per hour winds. Florida forecasters said the reading of the storm's pressure showed it to be the most powerful of the year, even more powerful than these other ones, believe it or not, we've had, huh? Because I thought, weren't they saying that, was it Rita or Katrina that was the most powerful hurricane of the season? At any rate, yes, reading of 892 millibars, which I guess is bad, very low. And its projected path is to just cover the state of Florida. That's really what it's they're thinking it's going to do. It's going to just go straight north into the Gulf and then do a right turn directly into Florida. So interestingly enough, and I guess your possibility of high winds reaches all the way over to Mississippi and Alabama and parts of Louisiana again, but for the most part, you're looking at this Florida. So some of you probably already knew that, but just thought I'd wake you up and share with you this morning that it's now been upgraded from immediately Category 2 and quickly to Category 4 and 5. Very, very powerful. Very, very, very powerful storm. And in politics, Myers said somebody found up some information that Harriet Meyer supposedly pledged support for anti-abortion action in 89. So 16 years ago, she made some kind of pledge. What does that matter? I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe she didn't know what she was doing when she did it, or maybe it's just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, just something that they've thrown up as a lie. Or maybe it's true. Maybe she really is our white knight, truly a pro-life candidate potential justice. She's not a justice now. A pro-life person who's actually going to overturn Roe versus Wade. I know, talking to one person, they thought that was the case. But, I have my grave doubts. Well, something came up yesterday off of the Christian Exodus thing. Apparently someone was listening to Dr. Paul Dean's show at 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 2, and reported in to some friends of the Tyranny Response Network that I guess there was some fellow named Bill Hedgepath on the show and reading the reports in the Greenville News. Now, all I'm going to say is we don't know for sure any other details other than this is hearsay, but we can go off of what this story purported to be in order to make a comment and make a point. Apparently, they read the whole business about shooting federal agents or anyone who came and tried to take your guns, and this fellow Bill Hedgepath said something like, "This is wrong, this is a theology from Satan." Now, if that's the case, that is really, really sad, to say the least. But, and it's really naive and ignorant to say the best for this person, Mr. Hedgepath. Of course, he may not have realized he was speaking about the Tyranny Response Unit and quoting, they were quoting me, of course, when the larger context of things was forgotten. But essentially, if you have a right of self-defense, folks, if you have the right biblically to defend yourself according to what Christ says, and there are reasons to believe that we have right to self-defend ourselves, and we'll talk about that in a second, then there's no differentiation between those who are criminals in the state who try to disarm you or thugs in the mafia. The idea that being elected or somehow obtaining political power by your own astuteness or by some coup or whatever other way makes you immune from being killed or expulsed by someone as a matter of self-defense is spurious. It comes from the divine right of kings notion. It comes from the fear of man notion. People basically thinking that, look, because someone is in the state, I can no longer defend myself against him when he tries to violate me, kill me, pillage me, plunder me. This is what the Founding Fathers realized. They realized that they had a right before God to defend themselves against tyranny and thugs. It didn't matter that they're elected. The Scripture doesn't indicate that, you know, you can go out and fight against somebody and defend yourself against them when they're attacking you. I'm only talking about when you're being aggressed here, folks. Someone's coming in attacking you, coercing you. You can only defend yourself when they're not part of the state. Scripture doesn't say that. That's bizarre. It's not even close to what the Bible has to say. What does the Bible say? Well, there are several things. In Luke chapter 22, I believe verse 36, Jesus tells people, look, things have changed now. You didn't used to have a sword. Now go out and buy one. Swords are offensive weapons, so it can only be used for attack, not necessarily to aggress people, obviously, but to defend yourself when in a fight. The second thing that we read in the Scriptures that Moses is not condemned at all in Acts chapter 7, or in Acts chapter 8, when he defends his Egyptian brother against the Egyptian, his Hebrew brother against the Egyptians. He slays the guy, and he's, if anything, commended for that action. We also have John the Baptist when the soldier approaches him and says, you know, what should I do? He doesn't tell him stop being a soldier. He tells him not to defraud anybody, beguile, or use his force to extort people, money from people. He doesn't tell him you're in a bad profession, stop being a soldier. You know, and of course, soldiers' legitimate function is to defend other people. And as a part of an army of self-defense, it makes sense to have that. We also have in the Scriptures commands that are related, such as a man who doesn't provide for his own. and 1 Peter is worse than an First Timothy is worse than an infidel and is denied the faith. Well, what is providing for one's own? Well, obviously it means providing their food and shelter, but it would also mean, I think, at least in the abstract, to provide for one's well-being through defending them against predators who would come and attack them. So that's just from the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, we could go and find, of course, many examples of self-defense. But for those people who would question any use of the Old Testament, we'll just give you those four passages. Now, show us somewhere else where the Scripture tells us we have to lay down and just be killed by the state, just line up for the slaughter. Christians didn't do that. Jesus told them to flee, get out of the way, run away. And in my view, that the Christians in the early church, the first century, did not have the military might to even think about resisting Rome and the state. It was not even a feasible option, and so that it never even came up. And of course, that's on purpose, because the redemptive purpose of God and Christ and coming to the world to save sinners was accomplished by him going to the slaughter, not by bringing on legions of angels. He needed to die for his people. And beyond that, we have the case of the apostles, who were not there primarily to lead any kind of, in any way, according to the Scriptures, to lead a political campaign. We don't find them being involved with state politics or county politics or, you know, federal politics or petitioning the state. They're not involved at all. Why? Because their primary mission was to be the leaders to spread the good news of Christ. It doesn't mean, however, just because the apostles didn't do it, that we can't today, or we shouldn't, as things have developed. In other words, just because the apostles didn't vote or the apostles didn't get involved with politics or petition the state doesn't mean that we may not. And the same thing is maybe said for those who were participating in the American Revolution, so-called revolution, or the defense of the South against the aggressiveness of the North. There can be a time for self-defense, and indeed, the original colonists were not in sin when they revolted against King George. He thought they were revolting. They just knew they were resisting a tyrant, and defend themselves. Remember, that's what happened in Lexington. The British came to confiscate their guns, and with a unified body, they took aim and they fired. And they weren't in sin when they did that. Bill Hedgepath, and apparently, from what the rumor is, Pastor Paul Dean, with surprising and in a surprising manner, chose to agree with Mr. Hedgepath about this, that this idea of self-defense against the state or shooting federal agents when they come to confiscate your guns and aggress you is a theology from Satan. Folks, you see how bad the Christian worldview has gotten? Do you see how far we've fallen as far as the truth and conformity to the Word of God primarily, but also the vision that our great Puritan forefathers and other Christian forefathers had in this nation? They've left it. They've departed from it. And we find that they are doing a very, very poor job of educating the people. In fact, they're leading them astray with the fear of man and some kind of diabolical intrusion into their own minds of what is right and wrong from the Scriptures, when it has nothing to do with what the Scriptures has to say. So think about that, mull on that, and if you have a question or comment, we hope you'll give a call to us soon. The phone numbers will be playing here shortly, and you'll be able to take note of them and give us your comments. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it.
Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. A hot and heavy topic this morning of self-defense. Many Christians out there who don't believe we have the right of self-defense going on Christian radio here in Greenville, calling them a show calling for truth and telling people they need to just take it in the shorts. The government comes to take their guns, they just need to give them in, turn them in, and don't ever defend yourself against the state. If you do, you're preaching a theology or thinking a theology from Satan. Good grief. Can you imagine what kind of... This is numbskullness, folks. This is not what the Christian worldview needs to be hearing about today. This is not truth. It's not helpful. It's not what makes Christians think better, act better, engage with society better. Folks, the American founders were not only justified in what they did, they had good reason for doing everything that they did in promoting not only the gospel, but in promoting peace. And you say, Dr. Coben, how can you say that by defending yourself, you're promoting peace? We're supposed to be men of peace and pursuing peace and peacemakers. I agree with all of that. Obviously, that's what the Bible teaches. But what is it that makes somebody a peacemaker, people? Think about it. Get a grip on this. What has been the antithesis of peace in the world? Satan. And what are his two primary instruments for creating war and taking away peace from the earth? It's been false religion and the state. The Satan's arm is, one of his great arms has been the state. The state has been responsible for the murders and destruction, murders of at least just in the last century, 350 million people of its own non-combatants. There have been another 40 million soldiers killed. There have been 50 million per year times, it probably is over, just over a billion now, aborted children, all under the sanction of the state. This is what the state does. It also destroys private property. The state destroys the environment. The state is your enemy, people. It's not your friend. It aggresses people. This is what Satan uses to take peace from the earth. That's what he does. He also uses the state to throw people into prison, as the Bible tells us in not only the book of Acts, but the second chapter of the book of Revelation. So all of these things indicate our great enemy, that our great enemy is the state. So how do we pursue peace? Well, there's a paradox in Scripture, and I think it's summed up in 1 Thessalonians quite well, that the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. It's a paradox that a God can be a God of peace and yet be taking on a defensive, assaulting sort of action against Satan. And I think in that passage, it's not referring simply to the actions against Satan in the spiritual world, but also in the manifestations of satanic maneuvers in time and space. And it's not just God's actions that are in mind here and in view here. I think it's the actions of the people of God taking a stand for the truth. As the truth of the gospel goes forward in the world, it's going to encounter resistance from Satan because he hates what we're doing. And therefore, we end up having to encounter him and fight against him. Doesn't mean we become aggressive, but when we are attacked and aggressed ourselves, we can defend ourselves, as we've already talked about those biblical principles. So here is a situation where we find an interesting paradox. And the reason is this. The thing that creates no peace is Satan. The thing that creates the greatest amount of tyranny in the world, wars, poverty, misery, the destruction of property, the dilapidation of the environment, the thing that causes man to be alienated from one from another, in general, has been those two things, false religion and the state. Those are the primary things that exist in the world to do that. And we're talking about limited government here, folks. We're making a fine distinction between the state and limited government, but remember that when you look at the state and its actions, it's almost entirely, almost 100% of the time, against Jesus, against his kingdom. People should know that just from looking at public school curriculums and what the state promotes. It shouldn't be any shock to them, and yet it still is to some people. So what way do we have peace in the world? We have peace when we promote capitalism and free markets. I was just reading in Thomas J. G. Lorenzo's great book, How Capitalism Saved America, I believe it was chapter 3 or chapter 4, might have been chapter 3, on how the pilgrims and their colonies were saved by capitalism. That there was fighting, there was grief, there was rancor with the Indians when the first settlers arrived in both Jamestown as well as up in Plymouth later on. Why? Well, because they came there with the idea of communal property. They would all own their property jointly. And no one wanted to work. Everybody started shirking, and the vast majority of the settlers that first came died of starvation. Starvation! And they brought more settlers in, and they also died in staggering numbers, like 80% of them, at least to Virginia, of starvation. How did they solve the problem? They gave people private property rights. Instead of working on the commune, they were able to have private property rights. Communism always fails, people. It does not bring peace among men, between men. It brings rancor, envy, and conceit, and all sorts of problems that go along with those sorts of things, and people die. There's misery. So they privatize it all, give people private property rights, and the thing flourishes. All of a sudden, it becomes an explosion of economic growth. And by 1775, it is one of the richest places in the world. That's one thing we have in common with those, our founding fathers in 1775. We are one of the richest peoples in the world, as far as the American people are concerned. And they were willing to pledge their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. Remember, we're not willing to do that. That's a difference we have, it seems, between us and them. Nevertheless, that was indeed the way things were at that time, and that is how private property can and capitalism can help provide peace. It is God's means in the world to promote peace. So, obviously, people, if we're going to be those who promote peace, we need to do what we can to establish limited government, very limited government, free markets, capitalism, private property rights. That's how we promote peace in the world. That's historically been the truth. That's what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament and elsewhere about the ancient landmarks and preserving private property. And that's why it has prohibitions against theft. So at any rate, if we're going to be peacemakers, we may need to defend ourselves against those who want to take away the things that make for peace in the world, private property, capitalism, etc., and those who want to take away the liberties which our founding fathers fought for. That's how we pursue peace. It's not by sitting there idly and saying, I'm a man of peace, I'll never take up an arm no matter what you do, throw me in prison if you want, I will serve the Lord and be peaceful. That is not what the scripture is talking about when you say pursue peace. There are other ways which we establish peace, we become peacemakers, or as James says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. The way that we make peace sometimes, paradoxically, involves us crushing Satan under our feet. We need to do that. We need to be on the offensive against aggressors once they attack us. That sounds a little paradoxical in itself, but if somebody breaks into your home and wants your money, wants your guns, wants to rape your wife or daughters, you pull out the gun and you blast the guy, right? if a guy walks into your home, folks, and he's got a BATF uniform on and he says he wants to do the same thing, you blast him. I mean, I don't care if he's from the government or the state, excuse me, or not. What difference could it make if he's trying to take away your rights, liberties, your guns, and he's aggressing you? Defend yourself against him. How can there be anyone who comes up with an alternative other than their abject, foolish ignorance and wanting to lead Christian people astray into believing and doing the wrong thing? Sounds like that's what Mr. Bill Hedgepath did yesterday on the Calling for Truth program. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't hear it for sure. If there's any callers who heard it, we'd like to know about it. Do give us a call here at Christian Worldview and let us know some more of the details. That was just what I heard. Even if it's not true, it's still good exercise for us to go through here on Christian Worldview, because we're talking about the Christian Worldview here and what Christians should be believing, in contradistinction to what they've been taught for so many years by neocon pulpits and mealy-mouthed pulpits that just want to go along and get along and are afraid of what men might think of them and don't want to stir up any trouble and blah, 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 and the church goes down the drain and people have no backbone or heart because of the preachers who are primarily responsible for the degradation of Christian theology today and the lack of Christian commitment among people who sit in the pews. All right, there's my little sermon for the morning. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting in Greenville is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. In Spartanburg, you just missed it. It was last night. Their monthly business meeting is on the third Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Westside branch of the Spartanburg County Library. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground in Greenville at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. That'll be next week, I believe. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. The same thing occurs the first Tuesday of the month in Spartanburg at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In at 6:30 p.m. Hope you can go there to discuss these great libertarian ideas with folks. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Yes, indeed. And let's make a quick plug before we go to our top of the hour break for the Tyranny Response Network. Once again, we are in need of volunteers, folks, people to help substitute produce for the Christian Worldview show, people who can handle network problems with computers, and people who know how to install radio equipment or antennas and things like that, of that nature. Folks, if you can help out in any way with these sorts of things, give Chuck a call at 271-6761. Leave a message, 271-6761, or go to tyrannyresponse.com. Click on the Contacts tab. Scroll down to anybody's link there for email and send off an email. Folks, we really need your help at this time. Also, we're seeking people who can donate $50 or $20 or anything else that you possibly can. If you can help us out financially, please go to the tyrannyresponse.com website, and the front page has an address where you can send your check with instructions to do so, and we do hope that you will be supportive. It's a great effort, folks, and it's something that needs to continue if we're going to continue to have a hope of spreading the truth in this very dark age among evangelicals who do not understand even why they're supposed to defend themselves from the scriptures. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come to the top of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, The first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 19th day of October 2005. Glad you joined us. Pretty hot and heavy discussion going on this morning about self-defense, and we have caller Greg on the line. But before we go there, let's go ahead and take a look at the weather for those of you still making your way out to work.
Right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, it's 53 degrees, downtown 57 degrees, Anderson 54 degrees, Clemson 60 degrees. Today, mostly sunny, near record highs in the mid-80s, light and variable winds becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. And here's a quote by G.B. Shaw. Patriotism is your conviction that this country is superior to all others because you were born in it.
Very good. Here's another quote from Representative Mike Pence in a speech to the Heritage Foundation. Conservatives know that government that governs least governs best. Conservatives know that as government expands, freedom contracts. Conservatives know that government should never do for man what he can and should do for himself. I wonder if they just make these kinds of speeches like this Mike Pence guy to places like the Heritage Foundation to rally them, because then they go and vote the exact opposite way. But at any rate, it made for a good speech. We'd like to welcome Greg to the line this morning, and we're glad you joined us, Greg. What's on your mind today? You want to talk about some of the self-defense stuff?
Well, I wasn't going to talk about that. I was just going to talk about an experience I had. And this guy, Pence, the rest of that's a part of an article. Evidently, this guy has been taking a lot of flack for being a real conservative, from what I understand of it all.
Huh. Well, that's good news if that's the case. We like.
Yeah, there's only a handful of them there.
Yeah.
Him and about two or three other guys, and I think there may be one woman in there, that have just taken a lot of flack trying to put the brakes on this big spending spree of the Republican Party.
Huh. Okay, well, that's good news. Well, we hope he truly is a true conservative. It would be nice to see if he'd be fiscally conservative. Hard to believe this day and age, but maybe he is. Where's he from, this guy?
Indiana.
Okay, well, that's a good state to be from, I guess, as far as being a true conservative.
I'm losing you, John.
Okay, well, I'm not sure why. Are you on a cell phone? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. I heard your hello.
Okay, well, maybe your cell phone's going out. Anyway, go ahead.
Am I going out over the air? If I can be heard, I'll relate something that happened to me last night.
Well, you are going out over the air, and we just heard all of that, so go right ahead.
Okay, well, I went to a meeting up at Liberty Middle School last night, and the big discussion is about the referendum in Pickens County to add a one-penny sales tax to pay for the new school system up there. They have, if I gather this right, it's like something like $197 million budget to run all this on. And the property taxes are not enough. They just raised them, and they're afraid to raise them again. Maybe they're thinking there's going to be an open rebellion or something. But it discouraged me last night to hear all the people that are in favor of being taxed. And there are people that actually got up and expressed their distrust for the administration and so forth. And they actually said, well, I'm going to vote for this anyway.
That makes a lot of sense. We don't trust them, but they want some more money. Let's give it to them anyway. I wonder if they were paid to say that.
I wonder. They actually had about three or four or five kids get up. And the superintendent said that these kids were unsolicited. They came up, and one was the president of the student council, and another one, kid. The first one was a girl. Second one was a young man, and then a couple of other students out there at the Skelton Center, which is like a trade. In other words, it's not so academic as it is. You know, they teach kids how to weld. They teach them like how to work in a doctor's or a dentist's office or something like that. One of the things that really discourages me is a fellow who's one of his articles you actually read. He's, in my estimation, a real Christian man who got up and he said that, you know, he urged people to vote for this because we need these schools. I started to say these kids actually did a videotape that showed the deteriorating situation of all the buildings up there in Pickens County, mostly Liberty High School.
Yeah.
They showed wires hanging out of the ceiling in some of the rooms up there. I think, you know, like maybe a locker room or something like that, and you know, how dirty everything was, some of the restrooms and so forth, and they're just begging for more money. And everybody, some guys that, or people would get up and, you know, they'd just cheerlead for the whole thing. And then other people would get up and say, well, you know, I want to know where the money's going and this and that and the other thing, you know, being rather critical of us, but I'm going to vote for this anyway. And oh boy, what a, are we in big trouble? I need to write some kind of a article in the Easley Progress or something.
Yeah, that's terrible when people just cop out like that. And it's so typical. This is the Republican mindset. Well, you know, we're gonna talk big. We're gonna criticize a lot. But when push comes to shove, when it gets down to brass tacks, we're just gonna go ahead and give them the money anyway.
And another interesting thing about that, I am told that there is actually a law that it's against propagating or doing soliciting what's the word I'm looking for soliciting campaigning for things like this with public funds with taxpayer funds. And they did it in a school. I'd like to know where all the handouts came from, and I'd like to know who made the videotape.
Yeah, well, I
who put the heater on or the the electricity on to get these people in.
I imagine it was partially attended. Taxpayers.
I imagine maybe there was 100 people there.
Okay. Wow. Well, I imagine it was taxpayers who paid for all that sort of stuff, and it's just Pickens County has a lot of corruption. Apparently, we hear lots of stories about the way Pickens County things are run over there, and it's a sad story.
Yeah, well, I was told by a former administrator that it's actually illegal to do that, but yeah. You know, who cares about the law?
Right. Well, it doesn't really matter as long as you're in charge and got the money and the power. The law is rather irrelevant. It's just a useful thing to use at times when it's expedient and convenient for you to do so. Otherwise, you just relegate it to the drawer.
I'm having trouble hearing you. I think I did hear the last thing you said there.
Okay.
But well, the thing that discouraged me so much, like one of the things, I guess, was this one man who can argue for creation and then turn around and say, well, let's fund this institution that teaches evolution and humanism and communism. And these four or five kids that got up were, you know, articulate kids, and yet these kids have been indoctrinated, and just like their parents, they're propagating a communistic system.
Hmm. Yes. Well, that's a very, very sad state of affairs. The public school system we know is diabolical and treacherous and evil, and hope you're hearing me when I say this, Greg, but it's...
I heard that part.
Yeah, okay. It's a serious downfall of the American Republic and everything else, and here we're supporting it just lock, stock, and barrel with whatever they want. If they just make a little complaint, they need more money for their buildings, and all of a sudden you're going to be saddled with another tax over there that'll never go away, as you know. Sad.
Well, I may encourage you to, along the lines of self-defense,
mm-hmm.
Before that, toward the end of the day, I was talking to a mechanic friend of mine, and he was talking about some of the weapons that he's looking for, and he seems to understand that, you know, if the big boys come to get you, he has a legitimate right to open fire.
He sure does. Why wouldn't he? That's the whole principle the Founding Fathers fought for. And in our government, it's part of the Second Amendment right. It's even codified. Without the Second Amendment, I think we still have the right. But certainly in America, people like Bill Hedgepath or whoever these people are rumored to be on the Calling for Truth show with Paul Dean yesterday have no basis theologically or politically to say that we should not be able to resist tyrants when they come to seize our weapons. Just total ignorance and naivete. And this is the sad case of affairs in modern evangelicalism.
You know, one of the things that perhaps disturbs people is the whole idea of gunfire. I mean, it disturbs me to think that somebody would be shooting at me or me shooting at somebody else. And it is a matter of violence taking a life. It's a dangerous situation. It can lead into other things. And you know, if a bunch of ATF agents came to my house, or like they did out there in Ruby Ridge, I mean, who's going to win? Normally, unless you get a bunch of guys like they were down there in Texas, you shoot, we loot, where you have a certain number of people, or down in Louisiana, where the SWAT team came to make these guys give over their supplies to the FEMA people. They had 35 armed guys there to say, no, we're going to distribute this stuff ourselves.
Hmm.
You read that article a week or two ago.
Yeah, that was great stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, Greg, we've come up against our break time here. Do you want to hold through for the break?
Yeah, I can hold on for a little while. We need to make the connection a little better. But
Okay, we'll try to take care of that during the break. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty?
The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. And while we're getting our phone line situation as squared away as possible, I'm going to do a couple quick announcements here. Not announcements necessarily, but yeah, we'll do a quick announcement for the Time Examiner first. Then we've got a couple Second Amendment articles, or related articles. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Ben Graydon, Marvin Olasky, and many others. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. You can call 864-268-0576 to get your subscription today. That's 864-268-0576. Every true conservative, constitutionalist, pro-life libertarian, or other libertarian for that matter, should be getting the weekly edition of the Times Examiner sent to their home. There's no reason not to get it. It's the best paper in the upstate. If you're in Greenville or Spartanburg, Anderson, you need to be on top of this and get this paper and support the Times Examiner and read the good stuff that's coming through, and so you don't have to listen to the nonsense that comes out in either the Greenville News or the Spartanburg Herald Journal with their liberal reporters. There's a couple other things that are in the news today that relate to the Second Amendment and self-defense, so I thought I'd bring them up right before we try to get back on the line with Greg. One is the trigger lock measure is assailed as a gun tax. The Second Amendment defenders warn of an addition slipped into a bill. WorldNet Daily is reporting we have this. Second Amendment defenders are urging Congress to defeat an amendment slipped into the otherwise favorable bill that would require licensed gun dealers to supply a trigger lock device with every handgun sold, calling it an effective gun tax on every weapon sold. And, of course, the people at Gun Owners of America are not happy about this, so we thought we'd bring that up to your attention today, that this trigger lock measure has been assailed or slipped into an otherwise good bill in favor of guns. That's what they always do. They take a little bit of something true, and then towards the end they slip in a little Mickey or whatever you want to call it to put you to sleep maybe, or maybe it's just something foul to poison you a little bit. Ed also sent in a news that the Minuteman Project now has over 1,000 volunteers. The Minuteman Project now encompasses all 50 states and over 100 volunteers for the biggest event or 1,000 volunteers protesting against our president and Congress doing absolutely nothing to stop illegal aliens invading our country. So the Minuteman Project is still going on strongly, and Ed wanted to let us know about that. So there's a couple of other things about self-defense, and let's go back to the line and see what Greg, if we can get Greg. Are you able to hear us, Greg?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Well, go right ahead. Let's pick up where we left off then.
Well, I was talking in terms of when people hear you or any other gun right person talking about, you know, go out and shoot these people and so forth, it's a rather, it's in this country, it's a rather, it's in our, what we think of as our distant past.
Yeah.
You know, now there have been, I knew of an instance where an IRS agent came in and there was a couple of them breaking into a house. This is maybe 20 years ago. They broke into a house and this guy didn't know who they were and he got up and I guess he tried to shoot him or beat him up or whatever he was trying to do and they shot him and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And got away with it. Were never prosecuted or anything else like that.
Oh, that's so sad.
So, I mean, you can hear other horror stories like that. But people are not used to the idea of having to go out and shoot somebody unless you maybe live in a violent area of the inner city or some of these situations out here. Pickens County, about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
A man and a woman parked their truck, maybe 100 yards away from a house, and they came walking up to the house, and they started firing into the house of this woman's ex-husband. Well, the neighbor gets his shotgun out and blew them both away.
Yeah.
I mean, those are rare incidences, and people don't get the idea of a legitimate shooting back. The trouble is they don't know who the enemy is.
And the other problem is they, for some reason, at least according to people like Hedgepath, don't believe that as soon as they put on a uniform and start shooting into somebody's house like that, that you have no right. You just have to let them shoot. You have no right to defend yourself against them. This is false theology. Part of it, of course, is through the indoctrination of the media and the public school against guns, but part of it is bad theology, and still a third part of it, I think, Greg, is that people think it's a done deal in the past. Yeah, we had to do that one time, you know, in 1773, 1774, all the way to 1781. In that range, we had to fire. We had to shoot then, but that's done. Now we bought freedom. We don't ever have to do it again. We're set. Our founding fathers paid the price. We don't realize, they don't believe and understand that they may have to do the same thing again. That the encroachments of Satan and of those who want to take away peace from the earth are still out there. And we may have to stand up like the founding fathers did and fight for peace. They just don't see that.
What kind of fight do we have to deal with here? People last night were talking about their property taxes, and one guy got up and talked about his mom and dad on a fixed income. And they were afraid they're going to lose the house due to the property taxes. What kind of move does somebody do? In other words, if these people can't pay their taxes, they'll lose their home. The government will come in and sell their house for the taxes, and then they'll end up giving it to somebody else or selling it to somebody else. How is that resisted?
Well, if it were the founders, it would be resisted with gunfire, and we're not even close to being able to do that. I mean, here we just take it in the shorts, literally, when it comes to taxes.
Yeah, well, they've got us all separated now. You know, an old couple there, and maybe they take a shot at some sort of an officer or an agent of the state, and the next thing you know, they're all in jail. Now, if there was a bunch of them there. Like if they were no old, these old couples here, they're going to lose their house. And you had, say, 35 armed guys saying, all right, turn these agents away. Maybe that would be something a little more practical, something that would work rather than just put these old folks in jail or, you know, who knows, they'd probably fill the house full of lead or they potentially could fill the house full of lead and these people would be dead. Oh, that's too bad. Look at this horrible incident that happened here. And you go on 6 months later and happens again.
Well, what would happen, do you suppose, if you had something like the Randy Weaver event where you had, you know, a dozen or so armed federal agents come onto the property and start shooting people, killed the kid, killed the dog, and, you know, eventually killed Weaver's wife and baby, and, you know, this kind of stuff's going on. Well, what if Randy Weaver would get on the cell phone then? Of course, they didn't have much, you didn't have as widespread use of cell phones in 93. But let's suppose today it happens. He gets on the cell phone, makes one call to somebody who's in, you know, a militia group or someone who just, it doesn't have to be a militia group, just someone who, you know, has a gun. And they in turn call their friends, and all of a sudden you got 100 guys with long-range rifles in the hill, and they literally, to defend Weaver, blow away 24 federal agents who are on the property. What kind of message? Now, this is a horrible thing. This isn't something we revel in, by the way, is the death of all these people.
You're not enjoying this,
no.
I presume.
No, of course not. But what message does it send to the federal government or any agent who thinks they're going to ingress or aggress some individual on his private property and start shooting his wife and shooting his dog and shooting his boy? I mean, they're going to get killed if they do it. And if there were enough people in the hills doing that with long-range rifles, if nothing else, we would actually stem the tide of their aggression towards us, and maybe that's what it takes. And that's a horrible thing to say, but, you know, if we're going to promote peace in the world, be peacemakers, the way we pursue peace is to stop the encroachment of the degenerate and evil state that wants to come in and through a thuggery take away our rights. There's no other way to do it.
Is this not something like what happened in Lexington and Concord and so forth?
It's exactly the same kind of thing. And Christians led the rally then, and they should be leading the charge now. And instead, we got people on a Calling for Truth program telling you that this kind of theology is a theology from Satan because they have the fear of man in them, because they somehow believe, according to their divine right principle, that being elected or being in the state somehow exonerates you from being resisted with force.
Well, do you remember that article you wrote, or you read about, you didn't write it, you wrote you read that article a couple of weeks ago about what happened, I just referred to it a couple minutes ago, where they had 35 armed guys that turned away that SWAT team.
Yeah, that was good news. Of course, they didn't fire on them. And what I would like to see at some point, they've already killed a bunch of people at Waco and at Ruby Ridge. Someday, as much as I hate bloodshed, kill a bunch of federal agents and let them know that if they're going to act like this and that they're going to, they may die. If they just get repulsed by men showing up with arms, that's good. But it'd be better, frankly, for the state of affairs, the way we're going down towards a military state here, if some of them actually died, and then they'd start thinking twice. You know, it may not be a good idea if all his friends are going to get in the hills and start surrounding us and shooting down upon us to do this kind of action against people, and maybe we won't do that.
A few federal agents actually did die at Waco.
Yes.
But you know, John, an interesting thing, there are statistics that say that guns, even by their very presence, are a threat.
Yes.
In that a lot of people just pull the gun and the thief will run.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to kill them. You just need to go out and say, look, I'm going to use this thing. If you take one more step, if you make one more, in the old cowboy, if you make one false move, I'm going to blow you away.
Right.
That is a legitimate threat.
Well, they also, we have one more minute before we have to go to the break again, Greg, but there's also the incentive structure, economically or otherwise. The person defending his home or his family has a far greater incentive to fire and resist and use force than the BATF agent or any other federal agent who's entering your home on orders, or he's doing it as part of his job. I mean, he has no dog in the fight, really. He's doing it because his job requires, his boss tells him to do so. But he's not going to lose his property or his family. Why does he want to go out there if he knows there's a high probability that he's going to die? He doesn't. He's going to lose interest really quickly. That's why it's so hard in the military to instill discipline into people, to get them to go out and fight. They have to use a lot of propaganda techniques and otherwise. And the same thing would be true with federal agents. They'd have to fully keep them indoctrinated all the time in order to make them think that they have an incentive to go out and save the world by attacking some guy's house. At any rate, Greg, we appreciate the call this morning. And do you have one other final comment before we go to the break?
No, I think I can. Well, let me just say about one thing that disturbs me about the way the police dress nowadays.
Okay.
They look like soldiers. They don't look like officials, peacemakers or peacekeepers.
Peace officers.
People
right.
are there for order. They, you know, have the combat boots on, the fatigues, and maybe they're carrying an M16 or something like that.
Right. Okay, well, I appreciate that comment. You're right, and they aren't peace officers anymore. There's something else. Well, we really appreciate the half-hour call today, Greg. It's been good to talk with you, and we'll look forward to having you here in the studio on Friday morning for some theological discussion about this or other things, whatever comes up. Until then, we wish you Godspeed, brother.
And all right, we'll be looking for you.
All right, very good.
Bye.
And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming to the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the 19th day of October 2006. In case you're still out making your way to work this morning, let's give you a heads up on the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 54 degrees, downtown 57 degrees, Anderson 54 degrees, Clemson 60 degrees. Today, mostly sunny, near record highs in the mid-80s, light and variable winds becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. And here's a quote by Ronald Reagan. Politics is not a bad profession. If you succeed, there are many rewards. If you disgrace yourself, you can always write a book.
Yes, and then you make money either way. Huh, what a deal, being a politician. I'll tell you what, I lose respect from anybody. I even told Pat Tindall that one time. You know, once you get to be a senator, if you ever did, I don't care if you're in the Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, or otherwise, you become suspect. Because you might be just another one of those scumbags up there that are there to do what all politicians typically do. You'll have to really prove yourself to be a Ron Paul, and we're open to seeing you prove yourself. But until then, far as we're concerned, you're open game, like any other politician. Because why? Well, politicians who make it are typically scoundrels that are there for their own benefit, to benefit themselves and a few of their constituents, and to garner power and prestige and money for their own, to line their own pockets with, rather than to help other people. So, at any rate, I think it's a good quote. Makes a lot of sense. One final announcement we want to make about the on our list of announcements here. On the tyrannyresponse.com website, there is a related media tab. There's also an audio tab. Both of these tabs are very important. If you want to understand about the Second Amendment, the things we've been talking about today, self-defense, issues of Christian theology of public policy, go to tyrannyresponse.com and look at the audio tab. The audio tab has a list there of the 16 programs which make up our online course in public policy theology. It's there to download for free. It's for your listening enjoyment. We hope you'll take advantage of it. They also play throughout the day on the Tyranny Response Network here in the upstate of South Carolina. Furthermore, we'd like to also encourage you to see the same course at libertarianchristians.org. Their online public policy course is the same as ours, written by me, and you'll be able to find it there at libertarianchristians.org as an alternate site. There's also a tab called the Related Media tab on the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com website. Scroll down to the bottom, there is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. The South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. And you can go there and sign the petition in 30 seconds. Click on the link, it'll pop up. Sign the petition, and you'll be glad you did. You'll help make promote liberty just a little bit. So, at any rate, we have a caller on the line. Looks like it's Chuck, and we'd like to take that call now from Chuck, and we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. How's it going today, Chuck?
Hey, good morning. Going pretty well, thank you.
Good. Hang on. We need to get your volume right here. I could barely hear you. I think we've got it now. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I really enjoyed the conversation with Greg. I think he made some excellent points about how we need to resist, but only in the right framework. A lot of times it can be pretty futile. I particularly comments were apt about, say, there's a little couple and they've been forced out of their home by property taxes. For them to resist, they're likely to end up having a SWAT team come in there and just slaughter them, and haven't done any good, and they look like kooks, and that's how the media will present them.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a great point that you're making, Chuck. When do you actually resist as an individual? See, it's one thing to talk theoretically about how it would be great if there'd be 100 guys in the hills around this couple's house, and they teach the federal agents a lesson one time so they don't do it again. But the reality of it is that in this day and age, we don't have what the Founding Fathers had at the time. And the likelihood of getting 100 people in the hills with guns on the spur of the moment to resist federal agents is very, very low. And therefore, what's probably going to happen is these people would resist, and then they would die. And they'd become martyrs. Now, maybe there's advantage in being a martyr, but certainly for the individuals not being able to live to fight another day, there is a disadvantage. And so it's a point well taken on the individual level of when you'd actually want to go and resist. And for many people, they would choose, according to the liberty of their conscience, just not resist right then, just live to fight another day. But it's got to stop somewhere. If everybody has that perspective, we just go down the drain. Then liberty truly is over if no one will take a stand at some point.
Yeah, I think in most of these cases, your best weapon is the pencil. You know, you see an officer abusing his authority, you take down his badge number and you pursue it in court. You don't take out a gun and start having a fight right there in the street.
Yeah. Well, what have we seen ever in courts where it's actually done any good, though? I mean, that's an interesting question. Courts have not been that sympathetic to people who are aggressed, usually, unless the media gets a videotape of Rodney King or something like that, and it can make a big deal about it. Typically, courts, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, we get nowhere in the federal court system or the state court system.
Right, and this isn't always a federal case either. I think, too, there are two, sort you might call it, two cultures in police. There's this culture of the SWAT team, of the hostage rescue team, where they're trained sort of to go against a military-type enemy, and turning those people loose against civilians strikes me as wrong.
Mm.
Then again, you've got the what you're calling the peace officer, the police officers I've had matching with, not that I've had a lot, who real they're good guys. They're out there genuinely trying to help the public. And there's a good example. I don't know if you get the Greenville Journal, but the new one that's just come out talks about a squad of police from New York that had gone down to help in New Orleans, and they were very impressed because they came to Greenville. Some other Greenville police officers were looking out for them and said, look, you guys need to write in days. So they fixed it up so they could go to the Outback Statehouse and also to Stacks Omega and talked about what great hospitality they had here. And I think this is a wonderful example of how we should release officers. You know, the people at the Outback wouldn't even take any payment for serving these guys. They had a great meal and they really appreciated it. A lot of goodwill. And you know, look at what they were doing. These guys were out there going to New Orleans to help out. And I think that's the attitude that really is prevalent in regular.
Yeah, and that's a great point too. Especially as Christians, you can show benevolence and kindness at all times. We talked just about one Christian principle of self-defense, but there are other principles that Christians also have to abide by besides being peacemakers. Interesting, I was just thinking of that gun that's called the peacemaker, by the way, but this is a great point you're bringing up. And you know, Chuck, I'll add this too. What we really are dealing with here is two aspects of a larger question of self-defense. The first one is the response to this guy, Bill Hedgepath, that was on the radio yesterday, and talking about his saying that self-defense by Christians against people in the state, and I guess including people in the American Revolution, was sin and a theology from Satan. At least in the abstract, he's wrong. This is not true. But the other question you're bringing into the picture here, which is very important, is how should Christians respond individually when confronted, especially in our day and age? And that's a very different question. So you could say, for instance, that theoretically I know the couple has a right to pull out their shotgun and blow away the federal agent and then die when they shoot back. They have a right to do that. It's their duty, maybe, in their own minds, and they have the liberty of conscience to do it. But should they do that is another question. And it's a very good question you're bringing up. Just because we have the right doesn't mean we go ahead and take advantage of it. But it's proper to say the theology that Bill Hedgepath and others are apparently promoting is absolutely wrong. That's not a correct theology. On the other hand, there's also the side which says we've got to take into account the other Christian virtues which need to be shown, even through the police force or people wanting to help out those who would make peace in the world. Our people are called to defend us, and those things need to come into play as well. So it's a broader picture. Our original comments, of course, were just to respond against the errant theology that says Christians cannot fight against federal agents at all, period. So it's like it's immoral or sort of satanic to do so.
Yeah, I hope you get a chance to have a good discussion with him. Maybe he could be brought around, seeing that there are other sides to this. It sounds like a neat action, and as you say, it's very divine right oriented.
Yes. Good, but I appreciate you bringing some balance to the show this morning, Chuck, because we were, and not that they were unbalanced, but we were only addressing one aspect of a broader question that has to be, there are other facets that have to be brought up, so you've done a great job in stirring us up for that. I think we'll have to record put this special, the shows are recorded every day. You can listen to the last three shows on tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. There's a link there to do so, but I think we'll stick this one up as a special self-defense show, since we didn't cover as many news stories today and mostly talked about self-defense. That way people can go back and listen to what we have to say here on Christian Worldview and discuss maybe amongst themselves the whole issue of self-defense, especially self-defense against the aggressions of the state.
Well, it's a good discussion, and I'd like to hear or find that whole story. If Greg could maybe put out email or let you know on the show how to find that story about 35 officers or 35 people who helped defend a home, that would be.
Well, we read that on the show the other day. That was in Mississippi. You remember when FEMA came down there and told this guy to stop distributing food to people, that they had to be in charge, and 35 guys showed up with rifles and stuff and said, look, you guys back off. We're handling this ourselves. And they left. I think it was FEMA. If it wasn't FEMA, it was another federal agency. And we read that story here on the show.
Great. Where is that? Is that on WorldNet Daily?
Oh, I don't remember now. It may have been, but well, maybe when we get you off the air, we'll give you Greg's email address, and you can contact him. He may still have that story. But yeah, we read that a few weeks ago after Katrina. It was in the Katrina aftermath.
Okay, sorry I missed that one.
Okay, well, good. Well, I appreciate the call, and Chuck, we've come up against another break time. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah, let me leave you with one last thought.
Okay.
My friend Lee likes to explain. You were talking to Paul. He explains that you can learn a lot more about words by taking apart into their root meanings. And polytics is a combination of poly, meaning, and ticks, meaning blood-sucking animals.
Etymology for the day. That's great.
Yeah. Y'all have a good day.
Okay, see you later, Chuck. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us today, and we hope you made your day a little brighter. Exciting show today as we talk about self-defense and the Christian theology of resistance against state tyrants. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This is the final segment, and we have yet another caller on the line. James from Spartanburg is on, and welcome to the show, James.
How you doing, Dr. Coben?
Good
to hear you back in Spartanburg. You was off the air there for a while, and I had a lot of people calling me up, wanting to know what happened to your radio station, and just good to hear you on the air again.
Well, we really appreciate the call. And yes, there were some technical difficulties in Spartanburg. You know, as a volunteer organization, we frequently have to deal with technical problems. In Spartanburg, the broadcast is relatively new, and they ran into some glitches. Apparently, that's been solved now. And we were on and off the air for a while up there, and we're certainly glad that all our Spartanburg listeners are back on board, full steam ahead here this morning. So appreciate the call and for helping remind folks and encouraging people to listen to the Tyranny Response Network up there in Spartanburg. Have you been enjoying the show today as we talked about self-defense and stuff? Oh, we must have lost him on the line there. Are you gone, James? Okay.
No, sir. I'll be listening to you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, good, James. Well, thanks for calling so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye
now.
Bless you. Good. Well, I'm sure they've been in Spartanburg, and James and others have been very encouraged, as many have so far, have been calling into the show to talk about this very important topic for Christians and those who love liberty about the idea of self-defense, even resisting tyrants like the state. If somebody just reads the Declaration of Independence, I'd love to get the Declaration of Independence into the hands of this guy, Bill Hedgepath, and maybe even Paul Dean. I don't know since he agreed. And just have him read it. What does it say, folks? Do we have the right to resist or not? Were they wrong? Was Jefferson preaching a theology from Satan? You know, this divine right nonsense is just beyond, it just disgusts me. It's a shame to evangelicalism to have this sort of stuff out there, especially on a show purporting to be calling for truth. And so, at any rate, perhaps we'll go on and make amends. Maybe I'll even make a phone call myself to their show and try to discuss this with these brothers, because you know, we're not out to demonize other Christian brothers, but we have to withstand them, even as Paul withstood Peter in the book of Galatians, in order to what? To promote the truth. We have to make sure the truth is being promoted. And when these guys, these diabolical, imbecilic, naive, whatever you want to call them, Christians, are out there telling people that it's wrong to resist federal agents, that implication the founding fathers were in sin by resisting King George, then we need to take a stand and show them biblically why they're wrong, and also bring it into the larger framework, as Chuck and Greg and the callers earlier today have done quite well in helping us do, to frame perhaps a larger theology or aspect or multifaceted system of thinking about self-defense and resistance against tyrants. All right, well, at any rate, we have about 9 minutes left in our show today, and unless there's another caller that wants to talk about self-defense, we're going to go ahead and switch gears a little bit. I think we're going to see if Rip and Richie can go ahead and put this on as a special show, a special broadcast regarding self-defense. Have that posted on the internet under a special section. Of course, it'll be up there under the normal rotation for 3 days of recorded shows in case you want to download it and give it to a friend to listen to. Also remember to listen to Rip and Richie. I think his show will be on today in the afternoon. We never know when Rip and Richie's show comes on. Sometimes it comes out at 9 o'clock on the Tyranny Response Network. Sometimes it's at 4:30. But stay tuned and see if you can pick up Rip and Richie, as he has the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, and maybe he'll also be talking about self-defense. All right, well, here's an article from Charlie Reese. I don't read the whole thing here, just a little bit of it's food for thought, somewhat related to self-defense, because, after all, self-defense is not just against human beings, folks. It's against any predator, including a lion or a microorganism. And here he says, don't worry about bird flu. As of now, Charlie Reese says, so far as we know, on planet Earth, about 60 people out of 6 billion have died of bird flu. All were involved in handling sick birds. There is, as of now, no recorded case of bird flu being transmitted from one human to another, something that is necessary before even an epidemic, much less a pandemic, could occur. He says, if you're inclined towards hypochondria, reading an article on viruses and a good encyclopedia will give you the creeps. He says, skipping down later, he says, the fact, by the way, shouldn't limit one's faith in latex as protection against viral infection. So before you let politicians, the media, and pharmaceutical companies and the grant hogs at the National Institutes of Health scare you with stories about being wiped out by bird flu pandemics, consider the following. If you're more than 50 years old, you've already lived through 2 pandemics of flu and probably didn't even know it. Good stuff, Charlie. And let me skip down just to the end here. He says, I'm trying to stay... Keep a stiff upper lip and don't let the new phenomenon of 24/7 television tie your knickers in a knot. For the sake of your mental health, turn off your TV. Then practice good personal hygiene, go about your daily life, and enjoy, as the old prisoners used to say, every day you have above ground. Our earth may be hazardous to our health, but it is one beautiful place to live. So Charlie Reese with a good, funny story today in his column about not worrying about bird flu, and we're not too worried about it. We just think I have my suspicions that it's just a scam that George Bush and others are going to use to aggregate and concentrate and increase state power. Well, here's another story. Bush upgrade of Sudan status draws protest. U.S. activists find no evidence Islamic regime is curbing slavery. Of course, Bush likes slavery. That's why we're all enslaved here, folks. So why should that bother Bush? Anyway, yes, we are part-time slaves. There's an article I've written on that, on the public policy of enslavement. You can go get it or listen to it on the tyrannyresponse.net website or policyofliberty.net, either one of those websites, and search for the slavery one under the articles and papers link. Anyway, worldnetdaily.com said, a coalition groups opposing slavery in Sudan are protesting President Bush's decision to reward the radical Islamic regime in Khartoum with alleged measures to curb human trafficking. Switzerland, Israel, Hungary, and Chile and Greece are among the Tier 2 states where they want to upgrade. The State Department wants to upgrade it from Tier 3 to Tier 2. And so they want to put them on the same level as Chile, Israel, Switzerland, Hungary, and Greece. A State Department memorandum justifying the September 21st presidential determination claimed the Sudanese government had made significant efforts to bring itself into compliance with U.S. anti-trafficking legislation. Oh, my. Writing to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, the Sudan campaign leadership contended the meager evidence provided by the State Department does not point to significant efforts to combat slavery on the part of the government of the Sudan. The campaign has called on Rice to immediately reverse the fundamentally flawed determination, and we'd have to agree. You know, I mean, these scumbags in Africa, folks, we need to, I don't expect anything good to come out of our state led by George Bush. But we need to, as Christians, be wise about the stuff that goes on in Zimbabwe with Robert Mugabe, and he's a butcher there, or what's going on in the Sudan, not only attacking and murdering Christians, but enslaving people. It's a sad state of affairs, folks. It's something that Christians, and talking about self-defense once again, need to rally against these kinds of abuses and traitors and treacherous events going on in human history by these thugs in the states in Africa. Of course, we would also want to criticize. We should be critical of our own thugs here, including George Bush. Yeah, I think he's a thug. You know, the way he handles people in the Middle East, the way he conducts his domestic policy with homeland security and so forth. Yeah, I'd say he's a minor thug. He's a big, powerful thug that does a little bit of thuggery, not as much maybe as other places, but still a thug nonetheless. That's a pretty big word to use for George Bush, I know, but I think it's appropriate. You may disagree, but call and tell me why. Anyway, here's an article that says, Bush thinks he is God Almighty. Spokesman for a coalition of three terrorist groups talks to WorldNet Daily. This is a WorldNet exclusive interview with Mohammed Abdel Al, the spokesman of the Popular Resistance Committee, a network of Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade terrorists. This is interesting. WorldNet Daily on Sunday, the Israeli Defense Forces found a Qassam rocket just out of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's Sycamore Ranch, located a few kilometers from Sederot, the town at which over 20 rockets were fired immediately following Israel's withdrawal from Gaza last month. Do you take responsibility for the rocket? The period, Abdel Al said, the period mentioned by the Israelis regarding the rocket is that it was fired 3 weeks ago. At that time, we in the Hamas launched many rockets, and I cannot confirm which of the two organizations responsible for that specific attack, but it's obvious that the Palestinian resistance has improved its capacities in shooting these rockets. Even the Israeli officers agreed that the improvement is at all levels. To begin with, the distance that these rockets can reach, the capacity of explosives, and their accuracy, the last 5 years, there's no doubt our abilities have improved. Are you targeting Sharon with rockets? We have very accurate maps, he says, Abdel, of Sderot and each and every street and near the city. What do you mean against every city? Are you saying you will file rockets at Jerusalem and Tel Aviv? Yes, Israel bombards all the Palestinian regions, and they're going to do the same. Interesting. Then he skips down a little further, and he says, the WorldNet Daily says, the Israeli, the U.S. international community is demanding that your group and others disarm before you can be allowed to participate in Palestinian legislative electives in January. Are you going to disarm? Abdel Al, this is a pathetic demand. Bush thinks he is God Almighty. We are Muslims, and we are ready and capable of defending ourselves and our right to participate in these elections. All the Jews want to rescue themselves. They should run away, he says. Oh, my. World conflict is terrible. The whole problem of civilization with war and the sinful nature of man is a grievous and terrible thing. None of us at the Christian Worldview Show likes warfare, but let's look at it from their perspective just for the moment. Let's take off our American caps. If you were there in your land and someone came in through the Balfour Amendment and whatever else and threw you off and then started terrorizing you, you know, putting you in jail or shooting or whatever else, wouldn't you believe that it would be right to defend yourself? Shouldn't we as Christians, believe it or not, even Christians, defend Muslims who we can't stand for their false religion, defend their right to defend themselves against evil states, whether it be by George Bush or otherwise? Folks, I think we'd have to. I mean, these people, if their private property is taken, I don't care if he's somebody that I just detest personally. He may be a homosexual activist, or he may be somebody, you know, an abortion doctor. But I still, as an American, it seems to me, and as a Christian, have to defend that guy's rights to private property. Although in the case of abortion, I guess I could support his execution because he's a murderer. But that may be a little different twist. In general, these guys, Mike, you can say they're just defending their own homeland. Well, that's an interesting way to end our show today, and I think that's the only way we can look at it, folks. I could be wrong, and we'll be happy to talk about it in tomorrow's show if somebody wants to carry it over. Great show today, and glad we had the good callers and the good conversation, and we look forward to having you for another edition of Christian Worldview right here in the same place tomorrow, 87.9 Spartanburg, 97.7 in Greenville, 96.5 in Powdersville. Until then, folks, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.